You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. The announcer there just lied. I'm not actually Matthew Heimbach today. I'm Matt Parrott. I'll be your special guest host. Heimbach is away today. He's actually in Pennsylvania representing Tradworker at the 15th annual Keystone State Barbecue. So you're stuck with me today. Hopefully we'll have a great show. Today is Friday, July 15th of the current year. Or as they're calling today in George Soros' Black Lives Matter Rent-A-Riot Terrorist Network, the Day of Rage. Today is the Day of Rage for us, too, kind of. Okay, the big news today we got to cover, it's absolutely horrifying, especially for me as a truck driver, just, you know, imagining this, is what happened in East France last night with Mohamed Waluigi, I guess, Boulel, a French Tunisian, though, of course, as we all know, there's nothing French about Mohamed. This guy was, of course, another migrant. I guess he was born and raised there. This time it wasn't an actual Syrian refugee, but that really drives home the point that this is not just about these Syrian refugees. This is about generations foreigners, and not necessarily even just Muslims, but people who've been allowed into our society, who can't integrate, who won't integrate, and who hate us. So in addition to the 84 who are absolutely dead, they're currently about, according to Hollande, there are 50 between life and death right now. President Francois Hollande of France, speaking after a visit with victims and staff members of the Pasteur Hospital in Nice, said on Friday that the death toll stood at 84, but there were about 50 people who were critically wounded between life and death. So that's in case you've been under a rock, during the Bastille Day fireworks festivities, the people were all lined up in the street, and he used that tactical opportunity as a radical jihadi to drive a truck through the crowd about 2 kilometers, just killing dozens and dozens of people and critically wounding dozens and dozens more in the name of Allah. So this is this has been a huge event, of course. Everybody, it's huge, but at the same time, it's become so banal. Like people change their Facebook profiles for it. They go through all the motions. The trending thing on Twitter is "Pray for Nice," or as a Heimbach's Twitter would have you. we're saying they should pay for Nice, and all the politicians are coming out and saying, "Oh, well, we're going to respond very effectively to this. We, you know, don't worry, we've got this." And you know, you can tell that they're looking at the right problem, that they're really fixating on rounding these people up, because they just rounded up about 27 radicals in Europe earlier this week. Oh wait, my bad. They actually rounded up several German patriots, several nationalists who had, 60 police arrest 60 patriots for hurting Jews' feelings on Facebook, according to Andrew England's Daily Stormer. Police in 14 German states reportedly conducted raids on 60 individuals in an attempt to root out the sources of anti-Semitic and other hate postings on the internet. The raids on Wednesday marked the first time that Germany has conducted a nationwide hunt for internet hate purveyors, according to the German Interior Minister, Thomas de Maizière, who said he hoped the operation would send a strong message that criminals cannot hide from the law in the seemingly anonymous internet. So while all this is going on, they're focusing their time, energy, and resources on the true enemy, you and me, people who are speaking honestly about the immigration issue, people who are speaking honestly about Jewish power, Jewish supremacism, the people who are speaking out against what we saw last night in Nice are the ones that the government is actually and effectively persecuting and rounding up. So, while ISIS is able to coordinate terror attacks on a heretofore unimaginable scale and predictability, you and I aren't even allowed to tweet without having, you know, this government that's supposedly can't keep track of ISIS, can't find these people, can't round them up, can't solve the problem. You know, they're more than happy to solve our problem. Oh, wait, never mind here. They're actually banning them from the United Kingdom and all throughout Europe. Oh, wait, no, that's us. Richard Spencer has been banned from the UK. According to Richard Spencer, earlier this month, I received an official notice packaged in an intriguing manila envelope labeled "On Her Britannic Majesty's Service." The words reminded me of my favorite James Bond film and gave me a foolish hope that I had just received a royal invitation for afternoon tea or perhaps had even been called to M's office for an assignment. In reality, I had been banned from yet one more European country. That makes 27. So while, you know, they couldn't possibly, it's against our most precious principles to ban these people, the Islamic radicals, the third world refugees, the hordes of Africans, many of whom aren't even Muslim and are just as dangerous. They can't, you know, it just does not compute that they could disallow them from entering their country. I mean, open borders is number one, unless you're talking about us. So they're rounding up nationalists door to door. They're banning any nationalists flatly, and they can seem to figure out who we are easily enough. They're banning nationalists from their country. Meanwhile, the people, their populations, are waking up. And as they're waking up, the government will try to round them up, but at some point there's going to be just too many of us for them to round up, and then it'll really get interesting. The amount of duplicity and hatred that they have against the ordinary European is just boggling. There are no brakes on their train. They can't say, like, maybe we should tone this down a little bit. Maybe we should reconsider this. No, there are no brakes. There's just going to be more of this. Now, one politician who earlier this year suggested maybe kind of, sort of, we might want to stop Islamic immigration. Donald Trump has since kind of tried to walk back that radical position. But, you know, it's flabbergasting that our media considers this, like, no more Muslims in America, thanks, immigration idea is absolutely beyond the pale. These never Trump conservative types. And I was watching them on Twitter last night. Their response to the terrorism in Nice was that we need to go bomb more Middle Eastern countries, and that's madness, because the bombing of Middle Eastern countries fuels a lot of the anger and creates the pretext for them to come over here as war refugees. It's like in Syria right now. We're propping up, our government is propping up ISIS and these other radicals against the nationalist, even fascist Assad regime, which has been, you know, the peaceful, rightful, sovereign government. And then when the war happens, they're like, oh no, there's war happening there. We better let all the people come here. And then the war comes home. So in a sense, the conservatives are, you know, it's their invade the world, invite the world ideology is the only acceptable ideology. And, you know, they act like they're being really firm against Islam. Like, you know, we really gotta, you know, bomb Riyadh. We gotta bomb Mecca. We gotta, you know, send these, and I mean, I get the anger, but the misdirection from the very simple problem here of, you know what, no more, or even better yet, let's get rid of the ones, Clock Boy, and all the younger ones who will, you know, pose a problem decades from now. Let's just send them all home. But that's of course absolutely unfathomable that we would close our borders while, you know, total war against other countries is of course perfectly fathomable and is already happening in several countries right now. Your tax dollars are paying for war and military exercises and destabilization and the prelude to war and sanctions, which are a prelude to war, all over the world right now. And every day that you don't stand up and push back against it, it is sort of a day that we're all complicit in it. So, you know, that's one more reason to stand up and fight. And, you know, fascinating thing about ISIS is, you know, they say that the civilians are a target in any country, which any democratic country, which is fighting ISIS. And on one level, of course, that's totally despicable. But on another level, like, if the civilians are on board with these wars, which they're really not, okay, they're not educated, they don't understand what's going on, we need to get them up to speed. But at the end of the day, the way to solve this problem is to stop invading the world and stop inviting the world. And you know what? If we don't have any more of them here and they're still managing to attack us, then by all means, let's bomb Mecca to the ground. But, you know, that's part of the double-edged sword of globalism is war is now global, too. War is, you know, in Topeka, Kansas. It's in Muskogee, Oklahoma. War is everywhere. And, you know, whether you're at the Boston Marathon or, you know, you're in Texas at an army base just minding your own business in peacetime, the war is absolutely everywhere. And the only way to effectively fight it is to define our homeland, define their homeland, draw a thick line, and you know, stick to these nationalist first principles that protect us, they protect them, and then of course we can't do that because the global Jew demands that we be flooded with Muslims, demands that our minorities be riled up against us in a frothing hatred. So, due to this god-awful terror attack in Nice, Donald Trump has actually postponed his vice presidential pick, though all signs indicate it'll be my governor, Indiana Governor Mike Pence. On Fox News, Trump said he had still not made a final decision, even though multiple media reports suggested the reality TV star has settled on Indiana Governor Mike Pence. Trump on Fox mentioned Pence's name after those of Newt Gingrich and Chris Christie as possible VPs. So these are all three really terrible choices. Mike Pence is he's sort of a religious conservative, but he's first and foremost, he's a neocon. He's absolutely untrustworthy on the core issues. In fact, he's among the many many Republicans, along with Gingrich, who condemned Donald Trump's outrageous idea to not have any more Muslims in America. And if you look at what Donald Trump says, he's just like, let's just stop doing it until we figure out what's going on. I would say let's stop doing it until the eschaton. But that's Trump. He's more moderate than we are here. I don't think there will ever be a right time to invite millions of Muslims into the Western heartland. But Newt Gingrich is especially despicable. I mean, Newt Gingrich is essentially, he's buddied up with Sheldon Adelson. And Sheldon Adelson is basically trying to intimidate Trump. Now, whether Trump submits to this intimidation or not, with any other politician, I would say it's a foregone conclusion. But with Trump, you know, you can't, you know, there's one thing Trump does not like, is not on the receiving end of being bullied. He's very much a bully, as you need to be at that level. So if he does pick Gingrich, which it appears it's going to be Pence, but if he does pick Gingrich, that will be because Sheldon Adelson actively attempted to intimidate him into selecting a reliable Israeli operative. So we'll see how that plays out after the dust settles from the Nice episode. It's Republican National Convention is this week. They're the Never Trump. There was an attempt at trying to get the RNC to allow the delegates to vote their conscience, you know, free the delegates, which was just a ridiculous subversion of the process and of basic democratic principles, which, you know, I'm not all that tied to democratic principles, but it is kind of funny how, you know, when democracy goes our way, it's demagoguery. It's you know, the statesmen have an obligation to vote against these rubes, and when it goes against me, then it's democracy. And you see that, you know, from the beginning of my activism, like I started out at the state level pushing against illegal immigration, and the thing is you had even though the vast majority of Hoosier voters were for it, the congressmen themselves were in the pocket of the Chamber of Commerce. The Jews aren't really that directly a factor here in Indiana, but through the Chamber of Commerce, you might as well have a Jewish subversion. And of course, the Chamber of Commerce is for open borders, for slave labor from the Third World. So there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the Republicans, which they barely got over, despite the vast majority of voters, even in the Democrat and sort of third world ghetto areas of Gary and Indianapolis, even therefore securing our borders. So then it gets up to, we finally get it over the hump with Congress by, you know, targeting and pressuring the Republicans who are trying to, you know, betray the whole thing. And then, you know, of course, the governor drags his feet on it. The governor doesn't want to sign it. The government, you know, attempts to veto it. So eventually it gets over the governor. And then, of course, bam, it's declared unconstitutional. The attorney general actually puts it to bed. And if the attorney general hadn't put it to bed, at the federal level, it would have been shut down. You know, you know, nationalist activism is a matter of just climbing the ladder until you're high enough to get kicked off the ladder. And that's what we see time and time again. And that's why we've got to be better organized. We've got to be more aggressive. These ideas about kind of infiltrating this system and doing it gradually just simply aren't going to work in our context. We have to be loud and we have to be obnoxious. We have to be radical. I mean, obviously, we have to be intelligent while we're being radical, but this idea of, like, blending in and subverting the system, you know, it's kind of like if a robber breaks into your home. You don't, you know, put pantyhose on your head, dress up in an all-black ninja costume, and sneak around the burglar. No, you turn on all the lights in the house. You start barking about how you have a gun. If you have, you know, if you have a nice shotgun, you want to cock it, and make yourself a well-known, visible threat. And we're definitely not the ones subverting here. This is our nation. These are our communities. This is our civilization that's been subverted by these people. So that's something to keep in mind here. I mean, this activism is important. And on the illegal immigration, on the community stuff, it is important, but mainly because of that radicalization that it delivers to the people who see the system shutting them down. You know, every time the system has to come out from behind the curtain and subvert the will of the people in order to keep its agenda going, that's the opportunity we have to win the credibility contest. And that's exactly what this is. We have to demonstrate to people that this system is out to get them, that this system is rigged, and that this system has an active and organized, conspiracy is the right word for it, conspiracy to destroy the white American and white people all across the world as part of the Jewish and global capitalist agenda. And you know, we can say that all day long, but as any good storyteller knows, you gotta show it. You can't just tell it, and that's where the activism comes in. Because every time, like in Sacramento, the police actively attempted to get our guys killed by refusing to do their job. They actively stood under shade trees and watched and waited for our trad worker cohorts to get killed, and of course it didn't work out that way for them. But that's a teachable moment about how the state absolutely wants us dead. And they, you know, I don't know how far up that was planned, but that's been the case all throughout, especially California, where the government deliberately and maliciously underpolices conservative and traditionalist and identitarian things while protecting, you know, you saw like with the Black Lives Matter in Dallas, how, you know, oh, this was a peaceful protest. The fact that some, you know, some Black Lives Matter activists started sniping several officers with a machine gun, you know, they're isolated. They're not really part of the whole Black Lives Matter thing. You know, they're rogues. They don't count. You know, of course, if it had been the other way around, every single person in the crowd would have been arrested RICO style. And held accountable for whatever the lone gunman or gunmen did. And that's, we have to demonstrate that bias. And the only way to demonstrate that bias is by actively getting out and advocating for the correct position and taking them on. And if enough of us do it, we can actually turn this thing around. And speaking of that, last night, right after the Nice episode, gunman fatally shot by officers in West Baltimore. A suspect armed with an assault-style weapon was fatally shot by police at a West Baltimore apartment complex Thursday night after trading gunfire with plainclothes officers, authorities said. The officers traced the gunfire to the parking lot of an apartment complex where authorities say the gunman opened fire at them. The unidentified suspect was struck at some point as officers returned fire, according to police. He retreated, but was later found on the second level of the complex and taken to hospital, where he was pronounced dead. So, while these governments are working to ban Heimbach and Richard Spencer from Europe, while they're going door to door to people who post tweets bringing attention to the Jewish problem at the core of all these problems, while all that's going on, the government cannot get a handle on this and is honestly trying desperately to win over the hearts and minds of the Black Lives Matter. You know, we're the enemy. You know, the Black Lives Matter, while they're actively shooting the cops are like, hey, fill out an application and work for us instead of shooting us. I mean, how pathetic and submissive is that? An active mob against the police, and the police are like, fill out an application. Let's work with this together. Oh, you just shot my brother? Oh, well, you know, put down the gun and come work for us. And, you know, ultimately, I think that's great. It's kind of problematic for us that at the ground level, the police are really a very, it's kind of like with the military, are a lot of, you know, honest, hardworking, and heroic white Americans. Who are trying to do the right thing. But as this escalates, it's going to become decreasingly the case, echoing some of Dr. Pierce's Turner Diaries thing, where the police will, through affirmative action and through discrimination against white officers, and through white officers just getting sick of being constantly blamed and under threat of all kinds of lawsuits and intimidation and not allowed to do their job, the police in America will become darker and darker and darker, both in pigment and in character, and will become more of a threat to you and I. I mean, the deep state, the major organizations, the FBI, CIA, the Justice Department, all those things are very much already against us, but there's still sort of a lingering Mayberry atmosphere at the local, especially in white communities, level. That you're going to see drifting away, but you know, this highlights how the Black Lives Matter terrorist organization is still actively shooting cops. This guy obviously didn't manage to harm a cop and ended up getting himself killed in the process. But this is happening all over America, and you know, they're targeting white officers, and they were even just targeting white civilians. You know, they're fighting a race war. Whether we acknowledge that there's a race war against us and we fight back or not is up to us. You know, we have to wake up and ask that question and answer. You know, if they're fighting a race war against us, are we so morally high and mighty and cucked that we're just going to forfeit the race war? I think my children, my nieces and nephews, and their children's children deserve better than that out of me. I hope you feel the same way. Okay. Washington Times: Army warns soldiers ahead of Day of Rage protests in U.S. cities. The Army has warned its troops stationed in the United States to avoid more than three dozen specific U.S. cities on Friday, that's today, because of alleged anti-police protests that could turn violent. Called Day of Rage, the protests are slated to be held in 37 cities across the U.S. and are being organized by the Anonymous Hacker Group. Okay, anything involving Anonymous has to be taken with a grain of salt, but these Black Lives Matter protests are very much a large, powerful, George Soros-funded thing, which takes advantage of the Black American impulse to riot and destroy their own communities and attack white people. So be safe today if you're listening today. This is the Day of Rage. It's not a day of rage against Islam. It's not a day of rage against globalism. It's a day of rage against white people and attempts to restore law and order in America. And this really drives home, as you listen in the coming days, they're going to be talking about the threat of Islam. Newt Gingrich is running his mouth about the threat of Sharia law. This is not about radical Islam. This is a tribal thing. This is an identity issue. This is a national issue. We don't just have the Muslims. We don't just have the Black Americans. We don't just have La Raza. We don't just have the Jews. We have it all. The only people who are going to ensure our existence is us. The only way we're going to ensure our way of life carries on into the next generation is through fighting back. And I'm not necessarily meaning lethally. It's a little early for all that. But we absolutely must push back against this kind of thing. We must let Black Lives Matter know. And actually, in Texas, the Traditionalist Worker Party is organizing some responses to that. But you know what? We need more people. We need more members. We've had an explosion of membership, but you know what? It's still not enough. A lot of you out there listening aren't Traditionalist Worker Party members yet, and we've got to fix that. We've got to have the resources. I mean, if you're worried about whether your money's going far enough, if you look at what we've done with our own money from our own pockets, with no major support, it's incredible. And imagine what we can do if you guys out there help us a little bit. You know, with recurring monthly donations, with all those things, we are working on the website. The Trad Youth is actually the way to currently donate to us, but because our PayPal got shut down in a discriminatory manner. But that's what we're up against, and that's what I'm talking about. Is they're trying to stop us. They can't stop the jihadi financial networks. They can't stop Black Lives Matter. But when it comes to trad workers, financial support, they're right on top of us, and that's why you need to help as much as you can. You know, take the time to mail us a check. Learn how to use Bitcoin. We've demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that when it comes to raising these issues that are important to you, Heimbach and our guys out in California, our guys out on the East Coast, our guys in Texas, our guys right here in the Midwest, we're assembling a really effective network to push back against what's happening to our people. But it requires money, and it requires more money than what we have. We wanted to go to the RNC this week, but the resources simply weren't there. There would have surely been some opportunities there to raise awareness about our issues, and we're missing those. So if you can help us, that'd be great. We also, a lot of you out there don't have much money. I know the feeling, believe me. You can still get involved. There's still a tremendous amount of volunteer work. I mean, it's more volunteer work than money, honestly. So message us after the show, find out how you can get involved, and together, just a few of us, it doesn't take many, we can actually defeat Black Lives Matter. We can actually defeat the refugees, we can actually defeat the Jewish problem, because when a bunch of highly motivated, highly honorable white men set themselves on a project, that project gets done. But we need your help to do that. We need to all come together and make that happen. So with that closing note, everybody be safe out there on this day of rage. Watch out for any rampaging dindos. And hail victory!
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.